people connect, families grow, lives exchange. People connect, families grow, lives exchange.
Summer Lovin'. You know, I remember back in my 1974 Corvette dating Nicole, and we were driving down the road, and I was at that moment where I knew that I loved her with all my heart, and I just wanted to tell her, but it's just awkward. You don't know when or how. Is she going to say, I love you back? And we stopped there at that corner at that red light, and my heart was pounding and racing, and I just went ahead and holding her hand, and I squeezed it, and I said, I love you. I remember those words coming out, and I freaked out. And 2 seconds later, she looked back at me with those big brown eyes and said, I love you. And that's where it all began. But love wasn't just a feeling. The feeling was in the air. Summer was in the air. It was a romantic time. I'll never forget it. I'm not here to tell you that everything was perfect. I mean, we had struggles and, like everyone, intense times of fellowship. But at the core, we loved each other, not just with a physical love, not just summer being in the air. We're talking about this love that God placed within us and made me care for her and love for her and her to do the same for me. And we've had ups and downs, but at the end of the day, the love is lasting because it's centered on God. This is our place. So we decided not to look back, but to press forward and allow God to work in our relationship so that we could help other people realize that it's not just a summer thing. True love never dies.
We won't stop dreaming. We won't stop dreaming.
Some days I just want to scream everything down. I believe it. Well, there's a love that will quench your soul and show you what life feels. But then I turn and fear and doubt that someone will hear me. And they will all just laugh in my face and call me crazy.
Check that out, man. We are here after 16 years and it's still here.
It's the spot. This is where we were. This is where we came after our wedding, and we didn't have a wedding photographer.
Now, we had this guy here, $20.
Cheapest photographer ever.
It wasn't like we were trying to be cheap. It just happened that way, and he was there and he did a really good job.
I think he was 10 years old and he was riding his bike with one of his friends.
Yeah, so at all of our campuses today, we decided, you know what, let's take a field trip. Let's go out on the scene. So if you're at the Westplex or Sunset Hills or Earth City, you're going to love today's talk. So you know, the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And that's why you go to church, at a church like Faith Church, where you get information to give you power. Because 50% of all relationships fail, and it's mostly because they don't have the proper information. They don't know how to interact with each other. You know, and if you look at the stones here, these stones were here 16 years ago. They didn't get up and move. They've been through the rain and the pain and the hell and the heat and the heartache, and they still stay, and they're still standing because they're built upon the rock. And that's the kind of stuff we're going to talk about today, right?
You know, we're so glad that you came with us on this journey that we're going on. You know, we want to take you through the journey of the last 17 years. 17 years ago, we were super excited about what was happening in our life. We've all thought about letting something die, letting it go. Maybe it's just not worth it, and it doesn't feel like it is in that moment. But if you can go through the tough times, if you can push through, if you can let love never fail, and you go on, it's that lasting love that doesn't change with a season like summer. When fall comes, when winter comes, the next year and the next decade, things can bloom and grow strong, like a sapling tree. When a sapling tree is small, anything can cut it down. You can injure it with a weed whacker. But when it grows into an oak tree over years, it can take storms, it can take a tornado, and still come out strong in the end.
And that's why the Bible said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. There should be a difference between Christians and the world. One of the best ways to have a good relationship is make sure that you understand that an argument doesn't mean that the relationship's over, that it's terminated. So when you start out in your relationship, whether that's dating or in a business relationship, the initial foundation is everything. You're going to build from that. I often say what you build, you must maintain. All of our campuses, all of our churches, we built them. But buying them, that wasn't the expensive part. It was maintaining them. So love isn't the expensive part. It's the maintenance of love. Overlooking a transgression. When you get mad, you get hungry, you get irritable, you get sassy. Again, those things, if you don't go into it correctly, then you're always thinking, well, my mama always got mad and she ran off. It's important, too, that we model this in front of our kids, right? Because they'll be what we are.
You have to. The Bible says, be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And if you hear in the back, there's the living water right here. Mm-hmm. And that's so important in your marriage, in your friendships, at your job. You can't get promoted if you only stay at every job for 1 year. You have to weather the storms. You have to be there. You have to stick. You have to go through the seasons in order to be like a tree planted, getting stronger, gathering strength, and available to bear fruit in life. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what storm comes.
I love it. You said when you go from job to job. It's kind of funny. It's like nowadays, a lot of times people get a job and they're like, oh, got the job. Now I'm going to get on monster.com and find another job. It's like, what? And you see them do this relationship. Like, oh, I got my man. So now I'm going to go out with the girls and I'm going to go party and try to find a better man. It's like, it's wrong thinking. It's erroneous behavior. And it's really the enemy trying to make us think there's something out there. It happened in the beginning with the tree in the garden. Mm-hmm. There's something out there that's better. Oh, I bet it would feel better. No, it won't. I bet the job would be more gratifying. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Until we deal with the inner emotional problems that we have, and we all have them, I'll be the first one to tell you, and she'll be the second one to tell you that I got problems. I got issues. But she has learned to deal with those issues. And that's kind of the thing that is the real deal breaker in a relationship is knowing the go buttons of that person.
In the Bible, it says in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and he's tossed about like the waves of the sea. And that might be you today. You might be thinking, you know, it just doesn't seem like I can ever get traction. It seems like my life has pressed pause. It doesn't seem like I can ever have the deep relationships that I want because I feel lonely no matter where I go. You know, sometimes we let the waves of the sea toss us about because we change our mind. It's like we think we're looking for the fairy tale, and there is no prince out there who's going to be everything we want him to be. Because no guy is perfect. No woman is perfect. No job, no boss, no child, no parent. Nobody's perfect. So God wants us to stay still, stand stable, grow roots, stand firm, be planted, don't move, keep your feet upon the rock, do this thing, and stand firm when it's hard, and stand firm when the things are going your way, and never get bored, and never give up, but go towards that thing that God wants us to go toward, which is a fruitful and an abundant life. You know, we haven't been back to this spot together in almost 17 years.
Doesn't seem right, does it?
No, and like that day went so fast.
I know.
Because we were in love and it was all about...
We were in love.
Love.
We were and we still are in love. It is amazing that I know everybody agrees that back in the day we'd hear people say, oh, that's 20 years ago, and you're like, you are archaic.
No way, and it goes so fast.
Bam, just like that.
We're still kids. And in our hearts we're still kids, but time has passed. And the only reason I think we're still here together 17 years later is because being married before, being in relationships that didn't make it before, we took with us some things that we could use to help make this one stick.
Totally. Like, you know, for instance, the running off thing. You know, in my first marriage, you know, you get mad and almost sometimes because you're so young and stupid, you'd almost pick a fight so you could go out with your friends. And what you're doing is you're kind of setting like an example or really a pattern in your life. Like sometimes you and I talk about, it's like opening up a mayonnaise jar. When you open it, you might need help the first time.
Right. Every time I need to open a mayonnaise jar, whether it needs his help or not, I'm like, baby, it's hard. Can you do it?
I feel strong. Then I say, you loosened it up.
And I tell you, thank you for being strong.
But at the end of the day, what that is when you start those patterns, those habitual patterns of self-sabotaging the relationship, it never stops, and then you're running off. So the second time around, we made a different decision. We were like, you know what? No matter what happens, we're going to sit here and do the biblical principle, which is don't let the sun go down in your wrath.
Right.
When you've got a disagreement, calm down. Do your best to calm down. Go in separate rooms. Pray about it. Ask God to help you. But certainly do not leave, because we see it all the time, don't we, even with church people. They'll leave instead of cleaving.
Right, and everybody does it in any kind of relationship. I see people do it with work relationships. People do it in friendships. Sometimes they're scared of having one difficult conversation.
But if you don't have that conversation with your angry, when you take a minute, if you don't break the seal of a mayonnaise jar, so after that, it's just easy to break that whenever you want to, you just take a minute, step back, wait till you're cool, and then come back and analyze what really happened. Because most of the time, mad, we use mad to cover our sad.
Yeah.
So I act mad at you because really you said something that hurt my feelings, and I'm not mad, I'm really sad, but I'm not brave enough to communicate to you that you have the power to hurt me, because somehow that makes me feel less than less than him, or might make you feel less than your boss or less than your parents or less than your children. But the honest truth is, once I've gotten rid of, once I've gotten a hold of the fact that, okay, Nicole, you're not mad, you're sad. Now be a big enough person to admit it. And I come to him, I'm like, hey, you hurt my feelings.
Right. And sometimes hurt people we know hurt people. So if she's, you know, admitting, or this person in your relationship, even if it's a work relationship, you're admitting, I'm mad, then the other person's like, well, you know what? You got to get over it. And they get mad. And honesty is everything. The Bible said, dwell with one another according to knowledge. And knowledge is power, right? So if we can give each other in this relationship, business, or you're just now dating, or you've been married a long time, they'll tell you the secret to staying married a long time is just that, having knowledge of what makes the person tick and what ticks the person off. And so, for instance, with Nicole and I, I'll know, you know what, she just needs to be heard right now. And I, man, I'm guilty of this because I want to be heard. When you're mad, you really want to be heard. And when you want to be heard, you will also hurt instead of just listening.
And then you don't have that relationship anymore. And the person you vent to thinks, well, what do they say about me when I'm not around? Mm-hmm. You know, or mom. I can't go to my mom and vent about him because I'm going to be okay with him again because we're going to work it out. And my mom's not going to want him at Thanksgiving dinner because, you know, he told me my butt looked too big in those pants.
Yeah, when you go outside of the relationship, what you're doing is you're bringing and breeding strife. The Bible said, where strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. He said the devil comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. If you want to destroy this relationship at work with that significant other, you bring other people in because they're going to go on your side and get offended. In fact, I just read an email the other day from a friend who showed me an email that somebody else sent. Man, I was mad. It had nothing to do with me. The Bible says he that stops and meddles in strife is like taking a dog by the ear. Mm-hmm. And I was mad, and I shot an email back to the friend who got offended or got hurt, and he wasn't offended. He's like, hey, whoa, hold your horses, buddy. I'm not that offended at it. And I'm like, oh, you hurt my buddy, so now I'm going after you. And it's, you know, in relationships when it's early too, you know, the series is called Summer Lovin', and in the summer, living's easy, man. It's beautiful out, the sky is blue, the trees are green, but we're getting ready to go into fall, and we're gonna go into winter in the tough times. And so 16 years ago, Nicole, when you and I stood right here, we had no idea the stuff we were gonna go through. We weathered some winters together. I mean, as far as challenging situations, but at the end of the day, you didn't fly off and leave. We just worked through it. Now, there were times of intense times of fellowship.
What? Yeah. No, but there is in every relationship, no matter what kind of relationship that you're in. If you're a parent dealing with a kid, if you're a husband dealing with a wife, if you're in a dating situation, if you're friends, if you're dealing with your boss or a coworker, it comes, and every opportunity, you have the availability to get offended. You have the availability to leave the relationship. But if you try and go from one summer love to another summer love, you never get the love for a lifetime.
We watch that all the time where people are like, oh, this is the new person I'm with. And then all of a sudden it falls apart in a year. And this is the new person. I'm thinking of some people right now. I'm like, how many people are you going to go through till you find out the common denominator might be or have something? It was just being soft, but could it have something to do with you? Because we have to internalize and say, wait a minute, these internal lies that we are believing, these sentences are sentencing us to a life of defeat, and we're never going to make it. And then, I mean, life is short. I mean, 16 years have passed like that.
Even with our problems, it's predictable. I know how to set his buttons off, and if I really want to, if he made me mad and I felt like it...
She could do it right now.
I could right now. I could say just a couple sentences about a couple things I know he's sensitive about, and we could go right there. But I don't want to drive him away even more than getting my feelings hurt and retaliating, because the Bible says don't return railing for railing. Mm-hmm. If he hits me with a word that I don't like, I'm not supposed to hit him with one back. I'm supposed to just offer myself up again. And you know, sometimes we think, well, I'm a strong person. I can't let that happen to me. Well, other ways that we fight it. So, okay, so I'm not going to say anything, but I'm putting a brick in this relationship. Mm-hmm. A little piece of a wall just went up.
You can be as cold as this wall if you want to as an individual.
Or that wall could be between the two of us, so we can't get to each other anymore. And once we've walled ourselves off and the love can't get through, it's only a matter of time before the summer loving is over and we've lost our love for a lifetime.
Yeah, thinking about summer loving, it said the brick wall, kind of like the car, you know, we were in. There's not enough room in that car for all of our past relationships, all of the baggage that we were hurt in with our childhood or what's going on. There was only enough room in the vehicle for you and I. A lot of times people try to bring way too much baggage into the relationship and it simply will not fit. You know, my last husband treated my kids this way. My last wife said this. My last employee said that, and I'll never be taken advantage of again. When you go into a relationship with all this baggage, you can't possibly fit into the vehicle of change that God has for you.
Speaking of being in a car with baggage, I remember, one of our early fights where I honestly didn't know if this was going to work between David and I. We disagreed about something stupid. It was so stupid. It was important at the moment, big enough to fight about. It's so stupid, I can't remember what it was today. But we're in the car, and he's driving, and we're talking, and he takes his hand off the steering wheel, and he goes like this. And because of my past relationship, because of the baggage that I didn't leave behind, I went ahead and shoved into the relationship with us. I said, "You're not going to hit me." I freaked out. Oh, no.
Like,
and I blew his mind. He's right. Like, "What is happening here?"
He's going to hit you.
He's never raised a hand to me. He's always treated me great. But I didn't know that then. I judged him based on what has happened to me in the past. So when you walk into a new job, you can't base on what it's going to be like based on the past. When you get a new boss, you can't judge them how the last person treated you. When you invite somebody new into your life, you can't judge them on how somebody else treated you. And when you try and get in close relationship, in a koinonia relationship, you can't judge that person on how it is somebody else treated you. And here's the big thing. What we do is we take our baggage and then we take that into a relationship with God. You know, we want God there when we want something. Oh, God, I need this and I need that. We want him to listen then and want him to move for us then. And we want a summer love and relationship with God. But the fact of the matter is, that needs to be a love for the lifetime. And we think about the one time things didn't work out the way we wanted them to work out and blame God for it.
Right.
We take that baggage into the next time we go to ask God for something, and it might even keep us from asking him.
Really, what it is you're offended. The Bible said that a brother offended is harder to be won than a walled city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you get those walls up,
right,
you can feel it. If you've been in a relationship, and I know you have, you walk into the room and you're like, what is up? You could cut it with a knife. Or maybe there's four people in a great mood and this person at work's in a bad mood. You know, the Bible said when I was a child, as big as a child, but when I became a full-grown, mature person, I put away childish things. I mean, it's really kind of ridiculous to sit and sulk in a relationship because you didn't get your way or you're afraid you're gonna get hurt. I'm telling you, until you deal with this inner emotions, this inner turmoil, it'll continue to deal with you. And it's going to continue to drive you from job to job, from relationship to relationship, until you say, wait a minute, I'm going to walk in love. The Bible said that perfect love, in John, perfect love casts out fear. One translation said it opens the door and lets fear out. In other words, see you later, alligator. What's that new song right now? It says, I don't know.
I got one less problem without you.
Yeah, one of those deals. Sometimes you need to say, I got one less problem without you, Jack. Out of here. I'm going to get rid of that negative behavior. I'm going to get rid of those bad feelings towards other people. And I'm going to forgive and forget. See, most of the time, it is a forgiveness issue that we have. That root of resentment gets down there, and we got bad fruit. How do you deal with bad fruit? You got to get down to the root.
You know, 16, almost 17 years ago, our not-so-professional photographer took this wedding picture of us on this very bench right here.
Look how young we were.
Oh, didn't even need Botox or anything
young
yet.
Young and skinny, no kids, no big bills. We
no
were just
worries.
In love, running around, eating whatever we wanted, doing whatever we wanted. I wasn't trying to change you. You weren't trying to change me. I wasn't trying to cover up my anger. You weren't trying to cover anything up. It was like Adam and Eve in the garden.
Well, you know, with Adam and Eve were in the garden in Genesis 3, it says that the two of them saw what was going on. They saw themselves naked. They saw that they weren't able. They weren't capable. And so they tried themselves to cover each other. They sewed fig leaves together to make makeshift clothes. And that's what we need to do in our relationships, is instead of trying to jab at one another, actually try and cover one another, because the Bible says love covers.
And when the enemy came in, they didn't know they were naked. Everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Until the enemy comes in to separate.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to join it together. What God has joined together, let no man separate. The enemy comes in and wants to divide. So now he's pointing out, oh, you need to cover yourself.
You know, we see people all the time who are in a relationship and they've got he money, she money.
Oh.
That's she money. Is money she don't know about. We're always hiding stuff. Well, I want to hide my emotions, hide my true feelings,
$100 bill agendas. Behind the baby picture.
Yeah. So people have that and they want to cover up themselves instead of allowing God to just say, God, if they take advantage of me, that'll be because you allowed it. God, I thank you that love cast out all fear. I'm not going to worry about getting taken advantage of. I'm just going to throw myself wide open in this new relationship because I don't want to go from relationship to relationship year after year. We've been there. We're not condemning divorce because we have been divorced. But for 16 years, like the concrete of this bench, it's still the same bench. And there's been a lot of snow hit here in Missouri. Yeah. There's been some rain and hail and sticks are falling on it, but it stayed. It lasted because it was built on the rock. And that's what the Bible talks about, too, is let your house be built upon the rock.
Yeah.
Remember that story in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Let your house, one man built his house upon the rock, another one built upon the sand. Same wind, same adversity, same strife, same problems. In fact, I want to let you know that every problem that you're facing and you think, my man, if I had that man, I'd be okay. That guy's got all the same problems the other one has.
And that's what we do. We try and take our everyday life and the things that we're going through and the faults that we have, and we try and compare it to somebody else's highlights reel. We pull out somebody's wedding book. We pull out their vacation album. We look at the pictures that they bother to put on their desktop at work. And we think that their whole life is like that. You know, we had some company over last night. When they came into the house, I immediately saw the things that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately saw the things that were out of place. So I apologized and said, hey, I'm sorry. You know,
why
the house.
Do girls do that? Guys could care less. I'm like, hey, we got a house.
Some guys could care less. My guy could care less. But I saw everything that was wrong with the situation, and I immediately said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And she compared what I was sorry about when actually our house got cleaned yesterday. It's probably the cleanest it ever is. And she immediately compared it to her life, and she said, well, if you think you've got anything out of place right now, never come to my house.
Wow.
That's not what I meant to do to her. I didn't mean to plant that seed in our relationship. I was just trying to apologize for what I felt was my deficiency. And in my deficiency, I made her feel like less. And we do that. We try and compare what's not attainable. You know, the only perfect love that ever comes is the perfect love that comes with God. God's love for us is perfect. Our love for God is not.
I'm freaking out right now because when you said that, I thought, you know what that was without being offensive to you? That was pride.
Oh, yeah.
Our pride ruins the relationship. Oh, what are they going to think? My house is dirty. What are they going to think? Me and my husband got in a fight. I mean, what are they going to think? I lost my job. We care too much about what other people think, and you can't allow that your happiness to be in somebody else's head because it brings anger on the inside, and the anger festers, and then just like that fountain, it starts shooting up.
Oh.
And then you've got all kinds of fleshly problems. Mm-hmm. In fact, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Everybody, even at all our campuses, shout, love, joy, peace. Let's say it together.
Love, joy, peace.
If there's no love, there's no joy.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no joy, there's no peace. So if you see that your peace is gone in your relationship, or even in your heart, back up and say, well, wait a minute, my love is gone. Mm-hmm. My joy is gone. Without joy, you have no strength. One of the things that we have to do in relationship is to have fun. We get so busy with email, you know, oh my gosh. And we do it just like you guys do. We'll be at a restaurant. And I want to make sure everybody knows.
Oh, no.
We do this because you're going to see us. If you see
it's
us out,
on us.
I'm like, okay, well, I got to do this email. She's not talking to me. I'm not talking to her. And then I look at her face and she's like, she's got a problem at work. And sometimes what we have to do, and we're realizing this now, and I want you guys to do it. This is a great tool, but this is a great hindrance to relationship. We need to take it and set it down, put it on airplane mode and say, wait a minute. We got to enjoy each other
right.
Because the flesh says, you got to get this done.
Right.
It'll wait. Now we'll be in marital therapy and go through a divorce if we don't spend time saying, what's really important in life? We got to spend some quality time together, sharing our feelings, selling, looking each other in the eyes, and loving each other.
And that's what we do. We take the people who are closest to us and we put them on pause for whatever's happening, what else is happening in life. I'll put David on pause. I didn't hug you for about 3 days this week. And it was yesterday or the day before, we stopped and we just hugged. And I said, wait, don't go. We haven't done this. And it wasn't intentional. Mm-hmm. There was no problem in our marriage. We just got busy and we knew, okay, we're supposed to have a bond. We're supposed to have a relationship that will last through this. So I'm going to put you on pause while I go deal with all these other people, all these other things that I don't have strength with. So we do that with our kids.
Verbalizing. The way you told me that, you said, hey, wait, I need to look into your eyes. And, you know, insecurity, when I first told Nicole I loved her, at that red light, I was so deathly afraid. I thought, is she gonna tell me she loves me back? We hadn't known each other that long. It was a pretty rapid relationship, and people said it would never last. 16 years later.
How could he just possibly
summer
not
loving,
want this?
Having a blast. I grabbed her hand and I looked at her, and I couldn't look her in the eyes and say it because I'd been so hurt. I still got this wall. This wall, I can't do it. So I would always say it in this Donald Duck voice, wouldn't I?
Every time. For probably the first year or 2 years of our marriage, tell them how you would say, I love you to me.
Like, I love you.
No, look. Donald Duck could look me in the eye, but David Crank never could.
I love you.
I would say, I love you like that, and I'd look away. And she'd be like, why are you doing that way? Just tell it. She was dying on the inside. Just look me in the eyes and tell me I love you. And because I was afraid of being hurt again,
right,
because I was covering myself like Adam and Eve in the garden, I don't want to give myself, because the last girl walked out on me. It hurt so bad. I thought I was going to die. And somehow I thought Donald Duck was going to protect me.
And we do that. We try and protect ourselves. We try and build these walls. We try and build this wall and keep God in his box. God, I'm going to give you this part of my life. I can love you here safely, but I know I'm going to fail you over here, so I can't let you into that part of my life.
Right.
And God wants all of it. And he knows we're not perfect. And he knows we're going to mess up. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ. That's a true picture of love. The true picture of love is sacrifice. The true picture of love is God giving Jesus to die on the cross when he knew so many people wouldn't choose him, even though he gave his best gift. True love is vulnerability. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:4 talks about love. It says that love never gives up, and it cares more for others than it does itself. It doesn't want what it doesn't have. It doesn't strut or have a swelled head. Love, it doesn't force itself. It doesn't force its way on others. And it isn't always me first. And it doesn't fly off the handle. And it doesn't keep score of sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel, even though it feels good when other people grovel to our flesh. But it takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. And it puts up with anything. It trusts God's always, and it always looks for the best. It never looks back, but it keeps going to the end. Love never dies.
Never fails. Love can't fail. It's everything. You know, God's word, God is love.
Yeah.
And by sitting in the campuses today, or maybe even you're watching through our television ministry right now, you're going, man, I didn't realize the Bible had so much to say about relationship. Everything that you need, dealing with anger, dealing with addiction, why do you even act that way? Sometimes I've done that. I've been hurt. So I'm like, why did I treat her that way? The longer you're together, the more you're going to understand, I don't need to be a jerk. Why am I being baby? A lot of these things right now are driving me crazy, and it doesn't matter. I mean, sometimes I don't realize why I'm acting the way I'm acting, but it's because I'm angry. I heard once that, you know, anger is like holding a hot coal and going to throw it at somebody thinking it's going to hurt them when really it's hurting you. This resentment, this pride that is happening right now that you think, man, why do I react this way? We're reacting this way because we're not walking in love. When we walk in love, God's love, it never fails. And then one of the ways you can walk in love is just getting involved in a good Bible-believing local church, like you were sitting on one of the campuses today, and say, I'm not just going to hear the word, I'm going to do the word. So because, you know, we see this many times where they're really busy and they're really mean to each other, and then all of a sudden she gets a diagnosis that's really bad. And then all of a sudden he's like, man, wait a minute. Why did I act that way? Why was I puffed up? Why was I unbecoming? Why was I rude? This is the greatest mother of my children I could ever get.
A friend of ours was just telling us a story about how life was busy. It was just busy. There was work. There was soccer. The house needed to be cleaned. The lawn needed to be mowed. And then they got a diagnosis about his daughter. And when they got the diagnosis, he said, it was just a couple days before. She was like, Daddy, play Barbies. Daddy, play Barbies. And he's like, I'm not playing Barbies. And they got the diagnosis, and it wasn't good. It didn't look like his daughter had a future. And he walked to her room, and he said, you know what? Today is the day we are going to play Barbies. Get all the Barbies out. Because it gives us a perspective.
Yeah, he was like, I was letting her put curlers in my hair and everything. Because it just does. It puts it in perspective. So one of the things I want you to stop doing is fighting with yourself internally. If you fight with yourself internally, you're actually going to fight with other people externally.
And that's what we want today to be for you. We want today to be a perspective changer. We want it to be the shift. We want it to be the press pause. We want it to be the, wait a minute, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about tomorrow, it could be different. I didn't think about, we have another friend, mom, 56 years old, walking down the street, slips and falls, hits her head, and 2 days later, she's in heaven. Nobody was ready for that. Her daughter was her very best friend, and she said, I don't know what I'm going to do with my best friend in heaven. You know, I pray for that girl every single day as God brings other mothers into her life. Forget about all the craziness and the laundry and the work and the email, because it's vanity.
Vanity.
Vanity under the sun. So right now, press pause, do a reset. Reset, rewind. Wait a minute, I'm going to remember what God gave me when he gave me that friend. I'm going to remember what God gave me on that wedding day. I'm going to remember what God gave me the day I gave birth to my children. I'm going to remember what God gave me because he gave me to my mom and dad, and whatever they're not, I know what they are, and I'm going to love the parts of them that I can and forgive the parts of them that aren't right with every person in our life. Today is that reset, so every day can be the summer lovin', and we can go ahead and have lifelong love in all of our relationships.
You know, whether you're sitting at one of the campuses at Faith Church or you're watching on television, you feel that tug in your heart. You're like, man, who are these two people talking about marriage? And man, it's making a lot of sense. I'm telling you right now that God brought us into your world to say that the worst is over and the best is yet to come. And what God has joined together, no man is going to pull asunder. And you two need to get back together and hold each other's hands and look in each other's eyes and say these words that really are not that expensive. I'm sorry. I was wrong. You hear the noise of the kids and the noise of the bills and the noise of fear and anxiety, and God's got you. He loves you. He's going to not allow this marriage to fail, this relationship to fail, this job to end wrong. He's here for you. Nicole and I are going to pray for you right now because the Bible said this, that one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. And we're going to pray that God touches you, that he heals you, that he restores you, and that he puts you on the fast track to freedom, that this is going to be the greatest summer loving that you have ever had in the history of your life. Father, Nicole and I pray right now in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus that every enemy, the enemy of fear, trepidation, anxiety, divorce, alcoholism, we rebuke you and the Lord rebukes you.
Yes.
And God, I speak right now for total freedom, total healing. What they thought was impossible is going to be possible. Mm. What they thought was over, God, you're in the resurrection business. You're going to resurrect their dream, their marriage, their job, their resources, their family. God, they're going to stop being worried about being a bad example to the kids. A divorce runs in our family. No. We're breaking that cycle today.
God.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
And everyone say it with us. Amen. Amen.
People